Sound good?
Sounds righteous.
Recording and looking good?
Yeah.
All right, in a 3, 2, 1. This week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is made possible by the fine people supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can go there and get our weekly exclusive Star Wars Rebel commentary series, as well as much other bonus content. Again, that's all available at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
That's right. Pablo tweets about the EU being reboot. The Falcon as a freighter. What does that look like? The Lucas Museum. More details there. And new Rogue One deeds. All on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report. That's right. Episode 223.
Falcon flight with destiny.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'm fielding the start of this one because Riley's on location. That's right. He took a group of Bothans out and he was teaching them the ways of the spy, so to speak. Riley, what's going on, my man? How you doing out
there? Hey, how's it going, Mark?
It's going good.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks so much for taking on the intro duties there. That's awesome. Well done, sir. There's a trick to it. It takes practice, and you nailed it on the first take, sir. Well done.
It was pretty good. Yeah, I feel good about this one.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, the thing is with the way that we're operating now is I'm on location. I'm at the Fayetteville Starbucks wearing a headset, and I'm literally podcasting from a smartphone, which is pretty cool. That's something I've only done a handful of times. But the reason I'm here, Mark, and not in my trusty studio at home is because I had work today. Riley's got a job, a summer job. Look
He's
at me.
He's got work to do.
He's being all big and big and important. A.K.A. Riley really wanted to travel to Europe with friends and also go to Celebration Europe, and that costs money. So, actually, I had an orientation earlier this afternoon, and it turns out that I went ahead and did half shift today. And I was like, I had to text you and say, Mark, we got to push back the recording, but fear not. Fellow listeners and Star Wars fans, fear not. The Star Wars Report podcast soldiers on. And the nice thing is that we can actually do this, Mark. I mentioned it right at the top of the show, but honestly, the ability for you to have your own mixer and you to be able to host the recording and everything, or me do it, having that flexibility either way, that's why there's a podcast happening this week, and that's all thanks to our patrons. But we really appreciate you guys. But let's get straight into the news. In fact, on this first story that I want to cover, Mark, for the podcast this week, it's actually, frankly, kind of a topic I've wanted to touch base with you on for a while, because I know that we definitely come at it from very different perspectives and experiences as fans. I don't know that we have that much actual disagreement in terms of the overall situation, but it's funny because I was actually thinking about making that a topic of the show today, and then I didn't realize that Pablo Hidalgo made it very relevant and timely, because he's been tweeting up a storm, right?
Yeah, he did, in fact. With that, let's cue the proper...
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is! Listen!
That's right. About 4 hours ago of the time of this recording, that's May 20th, around 6:16 p.m. Pacific time, Pablo started tweeting this great little story. He goes, I told this story a while back, but it feels like worth recounting. Picture it. 2004 or 5-ish, Lucasfilm. I'm working in the online group. Pablo knows how to set the stage. And we started dabbling with the original EU storyline. Baby steps at first, short stories, web comics, things like that. Then one day, my boss, Paul Entz, and he throws out his Twitter link there, you know, because if you're going to drag somebody into the muck of canon and, you know, legends and all that, let's do it. I love it. Pablo doesn't hold back. Anyway, Paul throws out the idea of rebooting the EU. Not that he had the authority to do so, just talk. Now, his next tweet, he goes, and I hated the idea. I thought, no, you can't do that. This is all him screaming. No, you can't do that. You can't. Not after I had invested so much time and effort into it. You know, because the capitals and all that. So I have to kind of really throw that out there.
Yep.
But then 24 hours later. So Pablo's given this time to let it really digest. He loved the idea because in a weird way, it was an act of preservation. Of conservation, not elimination. Now, I by no means expect my point of view to sway anyone's thoughts about this subject, but here's my take. And this is where it gets deep, because I'm kind of like, you know, Pablo, like, I, you know, everybody's turning the attention away from legends, and I get it, like, you're throwing your voice out there because you're the ultimate authority. But no, he gets deep with this. He says, I realized that the EU and the connections it built were a fragile house of cards. And the way it was structured in relation to production, that if this didn't happen, it would continue to get spackled over until it became unidentifiable. Now, this is something me and Nathan have talked about multiple times, even back before the canon reboot, when we were talking about canon on Star Wars Beyond the films. You know, every time there would be a retcon and how things would always shift. Pablo gives us a specific example. Like the original backstory of Mon Calamari, I kept thinking of that, about how it was disappeared from EU history. He says, despite people's claims of a cohesive setting, I kept thinking about the shame of Segar Tells, the Imperial discovery of the planet. And he's talking about some early stories that showed this Imperial finding the Mon Calamari and utilizing them. Then he goes on to say, and how the history was disappeared for the sake of getting some Corran Mass into Episode 1. And what he means by that was when they were filming Episode 1, they wanted to have some Corrans because it was something that people recognized from Jabba's Palace, from, you know, the other films.
Okay.
And so they brought them into Episode 1. But at the time in the EU, the planet hadn't been discovered by the Empire yet. So it was like, that doesn't work. So they had to retcon that background. So he continues. So those poor fish-headed beep-stards changed their mind. Because by not being clear about how storytelling universes intersect, we end up with a history where that even never happened in any universe, rather than the event only happening in one universe. So what he means there is that because we now have legends and canon, you know, the things that were legends, they still continued. Well, in that way, it was kind of like what happened with the Clone Wars and Mandalore. You saw the planet completely barren, and everyone's like, oh, what's that mean? And then a visual guide came out and said, the entire planet's that way. And everyone's like, no, don't say that. Like, you could say, like, a whole section's wiped out, whatever, but we have multiple sources saying that it wasn't. So that was what happened. You had this complete loss of it because they didn't have that storyline or the storytelling structure of the universes. And that's that convoluted aspect that if you were someone like me and Nathan, you could follow it, but you try to explain it to somebody new and they're just like, what the heck are you, dude? It's just Star Wars, man. Let's make this simple. So he continues on. So in that way, a clean slate would preserve the old universe in amber, letting it go unmolested into the future. Of course, back then, this was just conversation between two guys, two fans who had no sway in deciding such things, just talk. So I'll fast forward to 2012 when we hear George is looking to make Star Wars movies again. I thought, I wonder what the next Mon Calamari is going to be. As it turns out, the Mon Calamari this time was Hugh Swatch of the EU. There was no Jason. There was no Jaina. No new Jedi Order. Chewie lived. Not terribly surprising, but there it was. When the announcement went out regarding the new movies and the Disney acquisition, I wrote a blog post about it. I also wrote a blog post about what it meant for the EU, but that didn't get published because wiser minds felt that with the absence of a new plan in place, describing what the future looked like for publishing would be premature to go into it. And that was the right call. Now, on that hand, I kind of agree yet disagree because I still feel like had they given us some kind of plan to have some closure, but we'll get into that. Because when the EU announcement did go out, there were new titles in development that could be cited. Now, that's the example of A New Dawn, where when John Jackson Miller was writing it, he didn't even know he was writing it for the new canon. He was just writing it very continuity-free so it could fit anywhere they wanted to put the story. He didn't realize that it had shifted. So these are the titles he's talking about. Well, that's it, he says. Boring conversation anyway. Now, on that, I totally disagree. I find it a very, you know, this throws out a lot of conversations out there for, you know, me and Nate will probably talk about this at least once on Beyond the Films. But I really like getting into it with you because, you know, Nate, he knows the history. It gets very convoluted and I get lost in our conversations. But with you, we simplify things. So, you know, do you have any initial thoughts, man?
Well, it's interesting. My initial thoughts are very much just sort of I hadn't had a chance to see it today because I was out. So I kind of I appreciate the opportunity, Mark, for you to be able to present it to me. Let me just ask you a question before I really get into it. Mm-hmm. Does this sequence of tweets show any sort of shift in opinion or add anything to the current debate or discussion from your mind as someone who really wants both universes to continue? That's what I'm not understanding. Is this a story to you, or is this just kind of an interesting insight?
It's more interesting insight because this has been their state. See, I like the way he says, so in that way, a clean slate would preserve the old universe in amber, letting it go unmolested into the future. That's a polite way of saying it's extinct. Your stuff died. It's gone. That's where I'm kind of like, it's like another...
I was just going to say, Mark, could we explore that metaphor for a second? So essentially, let me actually – never thought these would be words coming out of my mouth. Let me put myself in the shoes of a huge Continue Legends fan. And not just like – not the worst of the bunch that have given everybody a bad name. No, but like someone who legitimately would like to see more stories. Yeah, so like you, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my – because I'm not in that camp at all.
Yeah.
But if I were to try to see that side, which is, I think, a valuable exercise to do in life in general, but also in Star Wars fandom, I would say that I think there is, if we could wanted to continue that metaphor and say, for me, continuing the canon of Star Wars Legends with more stories in parallel is like giving me as a fan the opportunity to live in that universe. And that is running amongst the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. That is Jurassic Park.
This is Jurassic
Whereas Pablo's version is like, well, yeah, you can still go to the museum. You can still see the old stories and explore, and it's cool, but it's not the same as actually being there.
Yeah.
And it's sort of – so it's the – the ending that is so bitter? Because what people complain about – Sorry, go ahead.
That is it. No, that is it in a nutshell. And I like the Jurassic Park metaphor because that's, I think, what most people at this point would really like is to have that sense of closure. You know, you know, they talk about they didn't want to put out his blog post about not having a plan. And I've been saying from the start is like, could they just at least give us a plan? Like, hey, we have a plan to write some endings here to give us that closure. I think the one meme that really sets the heart of the issue up is every good story has a start, a beginning, a middle, and an end, except for Legends. It does not have an end. If it's going to be preserved in amber and extinct and frozen in time unmolested, it would be nice to give it its end, you know, and form or fashion.
Let me take a quick stab because I personally think it's unfair to categorize all of Legends canon as being incomplete, because in reality, whether it's Fate of the Jedi or whether it's I keep wanting to say Legacy of the Jedi, Legacy of the Force, or whether it's any number of these book series, they're all complete stories. In fact, like, there are very few incomplete stories, right? Like, what do you want continued? When someone says continue Legends, they're not talking about like sequel comics to every single book or comic that's ever been made, right?
Mm-mm, no, I mean, they're like, okay, so you got your comic contingents of people that would love to see the legacy comics continue on.
Sure.
You know, there's characters in there that have stories that were legitimately left open. Hondo Carr, he was the, you know, he's looking to come after the Mandalorian Mandalore, who has it unjustly. So he's going to right that wrong. And that story was never told. You could still find out about Cade Skywalker meeting Anya Solo. More on her backstory of how she got there. Alana Solo, Jason Solo's daughter, was supposed to go on and become this queen and all this stuff going on. Like, that whole backstory was left purposely in the background. But more specific, you've got Jaden Kor, You know, he was literally in the last of his books. Spoiler warning for you guys that are going to read Riptide and Cross Current. He is in a clone like body, and a Rakuten device moved his consciousness into the clone body. But there's questions as to, can this clone body be controlled? And the people that can control it, it looks like they're trying to kill Luke Skywalker. So there was this whole side story going in there, plus these whole dark clones of Mara Jade and Kyle Katarn and a bunch of others, even Jaden Kor himself. So there was that angle of the, you know, that story got completely closed. Jaina Solo had the announced announced trilogy, Sword of the Jedi, where
the Sword of the Jedi. That's the one I hear the most of.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the one that a lot of people had felt like the books were getting closer to wrapping up to where Legacy the comic was, because they never told us what the generation gap for Cole and Nat Skywalker from Luke was. The question was, were they Luke's kids or Luke's grandkids? You could even go farther to say they're even farther out, but really lifespans and what Luke was doing and stuff and having kids have their own kids and stuff, it had to have been Luke's kids or his grandchildren. It could have been one or the other. Most people, they think it was his kids, but they never actually put that there. Plus, there's the Imperial Knights. We never really knew how they founded and who formed them. There was always speculation it was Jaina. I always kind of wondered at one point when we were reading Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi and stuff, everything that was going on with Karan, like maybe Karan was going to say, you know what? I'm done with the New Republic. I'm done with the GFFA. Kiss off. I'm going to go over here where Jaina's at, and I'm going to start this new Imperial Academy, and I'm going to train Jedi my way. But they didn't go, you know, we don't know, because that story was never told. The last we know with Jagged Fell, he turns away from being Emperor. He's supposed to be the first Emperor. And yet they, you know, that's where I get irked with Denning, because it was like Denning had that last Crucible story where he was writing up all these loose ends, and he purposely, instead of, hey, oh yeah, you know, Jagged, you should be the new Emperor. No, he has him walking away like, you know, they're going to wrap that up in Sword of the Jedi. But no, they didn't. That lack of that plan and that lack of that closure on stories that we were expecting, that I think is where the feeling of necessity comes from. Had they not already announced that we were going to get the Sword of the Jedi trilogy and they called it the Paul S. Kemp duology, but everyone figured it was going to be the Jaden Kor books because it was left so wide open. But there are books that were purposely left open, like Death Troopers, where at the end of that book, Han and Chewie, they lose the Millennium Falcon, and you're like, wait, they don't even have the ship. What the heck? Is there another story? What? No, they never planned on coming back. That's a gaping story that, you know, I always felt like needed to be told, but it really didn't. It was planned to be left wide open like that. So, yeah, I mean, you could look at it like that and try to walk away, but that aspect where Pablo himself was saying the time and stuff invested, that's, I think, when the people that have put the time and stuff in, that's that feeling that we're having a really hard time letting go with, because we've watched these characters grow. We've watched these characters get married, have children, murder their siblings. You know, I mean, hardcore stuff went down, man. And you know, it gets sad when it becomes it was full of really bad stories. And I'm having a really hard time with my fandom right now. Star Wars Beyond the Films has hit a hiatus because I am just having a hell of a time editing. Because I'm having a really hard time, because right now what I'm seeing in publishing is the exact same approach to the books and comics that we got when they were doing the prequel trilogy. And we're getting these throwaway stories. We've talked about it before.
And, oh, yeah, we have.
And what irritates me is when people talk about, you know, hey, we need some closure with Legends, they go, oh, well, they're just full of junk stories. Well, most of those junk stories came from an era when they were doing the prequels and they were too afraid to step on their own feet. Well, guess what we're getting right now? We're getting the same damn stories. And I'm just like, this is history repeating itself. Within 25 years, you're going to be talking about how these books suck and you need to just get rid of them and stick only to the movies. And I am waiting for that moment where somebody really puts the magnifying glass down and says, Pablo, which is it? It can't be both. Did Finn get cut from the front or from the back? Because the book says the front, the film shows the back, and they're both canon. At some point, you're going to have this air where they're going to say, yes, the movies trump all. And that's, you're going to be right back to that same square one, and you're going to have a lot of people ticked, but that's a different topic.
That's a, well, and so here's the thing, is that I think we find ourselves, if you think that all of Star Wars publishing for the books and comics is suddenly going to magically change in quality, I just don't think that's been proven not to be the case, but there still have been some very popular, well-received books as well. But it's kind of, I think you make a good point, it's very similar to the pre-Disney days. I don't know. I sort of feel like I'm sympathetic to your plight, Mark, but I just I mean I'm perfectly fine with the cinematic Star Wars universe trumping.
I'm okay with that too. I'm liking the cinematic universe. I think what I'm not liking is the EU before they took themselves more serious in the aspect of they'll introduce a character like Karan Horn, and then they'll keep bringing that character back. They'll keep adding to his life. They will keep moving him forward in the story. And you know, like Battlefront. I've got this book sitting right next to me, and Hasmir in this book or Hasm, I can't remember, the main character anyway, I would love to see this character have a repeat story. There are a couple characters in these new books that could easily be just tossed away, but Lost Star is another great example. I would love to see those characters come back. We have got a couple characters like that, but for the most part, it's like one Imperial here, one Imperial there. Snap Wexley's showing up a little bit more, but he has no role yet. That's something I'm missing. You know, I mean, when the New Jedi Order happened, and yeah, they killed Chewie, but that was to give you that feeling like, oh my God, no one's safe. But they also were changing the universe. Now, Bloodline, okay, I've read that. I've read it once. I've listened to the audiobook, and I'm re-going over it because I'm having a really hard time with this book. It's good, but Nathan's calling it the next Lost Stars, and I'm like, I don't know about that. There are some things that Claudia Gray sets up that I'm cool with. It's a different direction than what I thought. But I'm like, well, now everyone else is beholden to that. Case in point, Chewie's back on Kashyyyk. He's living the life with his wife and kids. Well, maybe wife and kids. He's back at home. He's been back at home for a while. And that's something that he did that once or twice in the EU, but now that's something like, you know, so if we have, you know, these new Han comics and stuff coming out, depending on where they're putting it, you know, we're at that point where they said they were going to take this stuff seriously, and yet if they're not, then I don't think they should be saying that they are when they aren't. You know, I mean, that's where I don't want to see this in 25 years be the same thing all over again. Going, I told you so.
Yeah, and I was agreeing with you a moment ago. I do want to make the point, though. I think it should be stated that I think that they're doing a better job now. And it's a more manageable release schedule now. And I think those are two big points in the favor of Lucasfilm. But there still are a lot of the same problems that they had before. Now I'm actually I've publicly said I'm a little gun-shy on trying out new books because I've not been that into a lot of the ones that have been released so far. Mm-hmm. However, I imagine I will be checking out Bloodline and Lost Stars because Claudia Gray's books have been so universally well received. So that's a point in their favor. We'll keep a tab on it. It's an interesting and ongoing discussion that has honestly lasted a lot longer than I thought it would, but it is important, and there are a lot of fans that care a lot about this stuff, and then there are a lot of fans who care too much about this stuff and are doing crazy things like putting up billboards next to Lucasfilm. Oh man. Well, let me take a moment before we hop on to our next story. Sorry, Mark, did you have one other thing?
Speaking of crazy things, there was one really quick one. I'm going to put this link to the picture in our show notes.
Perfect.
I believe the artist is Jeff Carlisle. Or Carlisle?
Yeah, Carlisle.
It's the Millennium Falcon as a freight pusher. And the guy had drawn up a picture of what the Falcon would look like pushing freighters around. And it's not something I had thought about often. And when he shows the picture, it's a concept that blew my mind. I was like, whoa. Like, suddenly for the first time, the Outrigger cockpit makes complete sense. You know, we've seen in Rebels and even in the Clone Wars, you know, different freighters and stuff being used. But Rebels especially has shown us that the cargo design really working, you know, that you saw in Empire Strikes Back when they were escaping and stuff. You saw the freighters that had the little cargo modules. And even the Battlefront video game is exploring that more. So to see the Falcon in that way, I was just like, oh, that's cool. And you can go as long as you want because, of course, you're in outer space. But I just thought it was a really cool design. It was something that I've never seen before. I don't know about you, but I thought it was cool. I thought I'd throw it in there.
I'm glad that you highlighted that. That was a great piece. And if you guys want to, you can find pictures of that. And, of course, the links to everything we talk about. We always put them in the show notes on StarWarsReport.com. So whatever episode number you're listening for, you just Google that, and it takes you straight to our show notes page. And it is a great resource. It's underutilized. So if you are like, well, they were talking about this one thing, StarWarsReport.com is where you want to go. And speaking of StarWarsReport.com. Let's talk about the people who support it for a moment. I want to take a brief time out from the news again to say a formal thank you to everyone who's supporting this very program over at Patreon. And I wanted to actually give an update, Mark, instead of just a typical like plug. Hey guys, if you want to support us, we do this, we do that. Head over here. That's the normal thing.
Oh, so, you want to do this, Mark, with some real pomp and circumstance then?
I do. I do. Oh. Yes. Exactly. Absolutely. So, yeah, exactly. Well done, sir. Yeah, so basically, I actually spent some time I've really wanted to make Patreon a great home for the people who have a real stake in the show and really want to support it. And we've been delivering, you know, these little bonus commentaries that we do each week on Patreon, which is really fun. And you can head over there and you can check it all out. But I actually built something from the ground up for the fine patrons. So if you are a patron, perk your ears up. Make sure that you take advantage of this. If you're not, maybe consider becoming one. I just created a special Patreon website and RSS feed dedicated for all of our bonus content. So instead of just emailing it out like we normally do through Patreon, if you become a patron, we can give you a password to my own special website. In fact, you can go to patrons.rileyblanton.com. And if you're one of our patrons, you can type in the provided password. And literally, that's just I wanted to make a place where we can post updates to you guys in one place and then also post all of our bonus audio content. And so I always try, like, we have a bunch of goals there that I think we're going to be very much focused on achieving over the course of the summer. But I also I like to just throw in some nuggets. So right now we've got our ongoing Star Wars Rebels commentary series, and it's available at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And it's our way of thanking you guys who support us. And I know a lot of you guys just support us because you want to. I've gotten a couple emails from our patrons, and it's super nice of you to say, hey, no, we don't need anything. I just want to support you. But it's a way of saying thanks and putting a little bit of extra time and effort for you guys who make this show happen. Because like I say, you know, I wouldn't be able to sit down last minute, change the time, and then Mark, record, and upload the show. Mm-hmm. The show just wouldn't be happening. So that's all thanks to you guys.
And I got to admit, I love seeing all you guys out there and gals out there wearing your Star Wars Report shirts. It's just like, I get excited.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, let the army go. The Bothan army is coming.
Exactly. Well, I won't take any more time out of the program, but I wanted to again thank everyone who makes the show happen. But let's talk about it. We've got Star Wars Rogue One deets. New details from the Visual Dictionary. This is a leak, actually, as I understand it. It's my page is loading here, Mark, but it's a leak from the description of the official visual story guide for Rogue One. Probably the most pertinent pieces of information are the names of characters.
Yeah.
So.
And some of the ship designs, because like the TIE Striker has some very EU reminiscent designs to the wings and stuff. And
exactly.
It reminds me of the Sith fighters from the KOTOR games.
Now, before you shut off your headphones and before you go crazy, we do have some details, but these are not spoilers. Again, not spoilers for the story of Rogue One. If you don't want to know the names and you don't want to know any of the like ship designs, then you'll want to fast forward about 5 minutes. But no spoilers here. Once we do start getting more details, we'll be doing actual dedicated spoilers after at the end of the podcast. Just FYI. So, Mark, what do we got here?
Well, we've got some Rogue One visual guide action. It is not final. But they got the heroes of the Rebel Alliance. Of course, we've got Jyn we've known about. But the one that everyone speculated as Biggs is not Biggs. I was kind of bummed. I was like, I was rooting for Biggs, man.
Me too.
I believe it's Cassian and Andor is how they're saying him. It's really hard to see on my computer. For some reason, it's made it very tiny.
Yeah, same here for me. It's hard to read, nope. But I was looking at this a couple days ago. Yeah,
sorry, I don't know if the next one's name is Daze It just kind of looks like a D. It could be maze. It's really hard to tell. I can't make it bigger. It just stays the one size. We have details on the droid, his name. Basically for the Rebels, we get the crew, in a sense. But the one that I was actually the most interested was Director Kremnik. I believe that's what his name is. We were talking with the Patreons about how I thought he had a lightsaber on his belt. It turns out it's a gun in his hand. But the one that really surprised me the most was these are not Shadow Troopers. These are not Republican Commandos or Imperial Commandos. These are Death Troopers. That was something that, whoa. Now, we were talking about that in our last little news story, the book Death Troopers, which in the EU were zombies. They were all zombies. So I don't think that's what we're getting here. I think that this is closer to what we got with the Force Unleashed with the Terror Troopers, the ones that look like Starkiller's Sith mask. I think that's more what we're here. I mean, we could really look at it and read it more.
Just to remind folks, you're talking about the really cool-looking Super Troopers that we saw in the Rogue One trailer.
The one with the black mask with where the normal black on the white Stormtroopers' little air vents are. These got these glowing green, like, I don't know if they're like just end caps or just energy influx. It's kind of hard to say. It says an elite Imperial soldier's sole purpose of thwarting enemy Rebel Alliance forces. I don't see anything about them being zombie-esque. So, but yeah, that was one of the big things that really jumped out to me. They gave more details. Another one was we start seeing, I believe they're the X-70s, which is the step between the X-Wings that we see later and the new ones, this is the new ones, but the wings don't look like the ones that we see Poe and them driving. The engines do. They do this split where it's a complete circle, where half and half. But the wings don't look like they're doing that cross-cut action. They look like they stack like the original T-65s do. So I think that's supposed to be the step between the two ships. And if that's the case, that's kind of cool. We see a cool picture of some Imperial Stormtroopers with what looks like a riot tank. And the gunners on that, this says not final, which these are the type of details I kind of expect to change. But that Stormtrooper, the one that's in the actual driving of the tank and behind him, that's a cool looking helmet, man. I want to see that in the real life. Pictures of the Death Star. We got a U-Wing, which...
That was
looks,
really cool.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'm almost wondering, when you look at it, it almost looks like a speeder. But I wonder if those wings fly out like a switchblade. Right now it looks like a U, but they don't look like that's the aerodynamic design of them. They almost look like they would flick back. And almost even more so than a T, but more like a Y. Like they would kind of go back behind it a little bit more. I don't know. Like that's an easy design that they can mess with your head.
I do like the fact that we're seeing a lot of new ship designs, and it's not just straight up what was in A New Hope.
Yeah, and then there's details on the Enforcer droid, the K-250, which I like the fact that in this design it's got a very Imperial Stormtrooper look to its chassis. It almost looks like it's got armor from an Imperial Stormtrooper actually attached to it. So I don't know. There's some elements to this story that have me very intrigued.
Absolutely. Well, what when you went through some of this new artwork and descriptions, what do you think is the number one new takeaway for you?
Oh, for me, it was probably the Death Troopers. That was really the one thing that when I walked away, I was
that was the big thing for me. Although I really like, go ahead.
Well, you're going to have that constant complaint of everybody's reusing things, but that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of things like that being taken and ran within a new direction. So I don't expect these to be zombies like they were in the EU. I do expect them to be more like the Terror Troopers, but I think it's great. It's a great title. You hear Death Troopers. I mean, Stormtroopers are already a name that inspires fear, but when you think about it in the books and in even the shows, one blaster bolt and they're done. I mean, their armor sucks. So I kind of really would love to see these Death Troopers. Like, that's the kind of the shame. Like, maybe they are like zombies in a way, but like not zombies. Like, they're actually thinking. Like, they have bullets go through them and they don't stop them. That would be cool. Yeah. Like, they're Death Troopers. You can't kill them. They're just going to keep coming until there's nothing left. Like, that would be a scary villain.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I think my number one, that would compete for it. Honestly, seeing the TIE Striker, mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for like cool TIE Fighter designs.
Yeah,
and that is a cool one. Had so many different options throughout the years. I'm always a big fan of whenever they kind of introduce something new there. So yeah, I thought I was very, very intrigued. And again, now that we've had the trailer, I'm sure that we're going to get something additional at Celebration in London.
So
pretty soon.
Real quick, question, but it's still attached to Rogue One.
Okay.
How would you feel if the only Rebels cameo we get is Chopper somewhere in the base in the background?
I swear to Obi-Wan Kenobi, if that's the case. I mean, I would think it was kind of funny, but I wouldn't be devastated, and I wouldn't really be that thrilled either. I'm kind of neutral, actually.
See, I would dig it. I mean, whether or not it was like, well, where's the rest of the crew, or you know, proof that at least somebody made it through. I think that'd be a cool little tie-in, and I think. Of what's been announced so far, this is probably one of the best opportunities for them to do something like that. And Chopper would be the one character that I think you could do it where everyone would recognize him and it would make sense to have the character kind of like being in the background. I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, as you were saying.
No. It'd be cool to see some cameos, and I'm sure we'll learn more about the film throughout the summer, especially as Celebration London comes up, I will take a moment to reiterate what I was finally formally able to make the announcement last week. This week it's really formal because I actually have flights booked. I will be there. And Mark, I sent out a Twitter poll to the Star Wars Report audience at large. Nice. And I was kind of looking at getting some ideas for different types of content we could do. Mm-hmm. To cover Celebration, because we always do our podcast, we post, we live tweet, we put stuff up on Facebook. There's a lot of demand. A lot of people are voting for YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be kind of looking in at some we're going to be looking into some different ideas for video and stuff to shoot that's unique to what we do and has our own flavor on it to cover Star Wars Celebration Europe 2, Electric Boogaloo. So I'm very, 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 very excited about that. I also, man, I'll tell you what, time's been flying, sir. It has to unfortunately be a little bit shorter of an episode this week just because of the time's sake and the change in my work schedule. But I don't want to depart this evening without touching on y'all's feedback. And before we touch on y'all's feedback, we've got to touch on Boba's bounty. Mark, kick us off. You started off our Skype call with something pretty cool.
That's true. Yeah, my Boba's Bounty is the iHome, I believe it is, Bluetooth mm-hmm. Millennium Falcon speaker. My birthday was, at the time of recording this, 2 days ago on May 18th.
Oh, by the way, a big happy birthday to you from the Star Wars War. We did it on Twitter. But it's not official until we say it on the podcast.
That's true.
So happy birthday to
you.
Mark and James Thaddeus Herleman V.
And you know, I was stoked beyond measure because, you know, usually my mom doesn't get me much Star Wars things, especially for my birthday. So I was really kind of blown away. And then, on top of it all, it's the Episode 7 Millennium Falcon with the new sensor dish. So I was really stoked by that. But my wife's got what they call the Jams little speaker, and I've been using the heck out of that. It's almost all shot. And my daughter started using it when she realized that she could listen to that and dance. And I'm like, where's the speaker? I'm trying to take a shower, and I want to jam out to some Linkin Park. So now I've got this, and I'm like, hands off the Falcon. You know, I'm just like, just stay back. And I've got a really good spot for it right in front of my big Millennium Falcon movie picture poster board that my wife got me last year. So I'm like, yeah, like this is pretty cool. But it's got you push the button on the top, and it's got the sound.
There it is.
And what's
great
too is the nacelle in the back lights up, the engine light lights up, and I just found out last night that the base fits perfectly in my little extra tray in my Durango, because my Durango doesn't have an actual plug-in. But what's also cool is the actual plug-in of this thing has something where I can plug it into my computer, I can even plug it into the mixer. So I'm looking forward to actually using that wire. I'm
nice.
Like, I think I can hook my phone straight into the mixer with this.
Hey.
So yeah, I'm like, so surprising, unbeknownst to my mom, it actually had some podcast equipment in it. I'm like, this is great. The little things,
nice.
Man. The little things.
That is That is awesome. Yeah, yeah. That's and we'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. I have an unusual pick, because the thing about Boba's Bounty is we each select. I like to do it as a way of showcasing and kind of honestly forcing myself to be conscious about and touching base with my personal fandom, because my fandom is so often like reading and following Star Wars news and commentary and developing my own Star Wars commentary and then talking about it on the podcast. That's like a huge chunk of my Star Wars fandom, but that doesn't like define what I like and dislike. And so that's really been the purpose of the segment, is kind of to dig in what we like and what we want to talk about with, you know, just like you do with your buddies. So I'm actually excited this week to talk about something that I actually watched this week related to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And that is The Phantom Menace. Indeed, my Boba's Bounty this week is a Star Wars movie. How about them apples? The Phantom Menace. Specifically, I had an opportunity to be reminded of, because of course I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about it for a moment. I had the opportunity to be reminded of a few things about that film that make it such a nostalgic favorite of mine.
Classic.
Yeah, exactly. There's something about it being the first Star Wars film that I saw that's special, but I've never really like put that in words. And one thing that really just
In words, my man. It's Liam Neeson.
Well, I think I have actually. Honestly, that's probably the biggest thing. It's Liam Neeson, who has a huge amount of the dialogue, by the way. So that's a big part of it. But honestly, I wanted to kind of highlight what I think is the. It's the probably the most, I'm going to say it, for me, the most moving moment of The Phantom Menace to this day is the tragic separation of Anakin from his mother, Shmi.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things, because I'll be bluntly honest, George Lucas, you know, he's not the world's greatest writer, and it's brought forward some pretty awkward dialogue, but you know, I can get past awkward dialogue. I think some of George Lucas's greatest struggles as a writer and creative generally is really translating the human emotion of love in these movies. And it's such a core part of Star Wars. It's really hard to do, right? And it's always hard to do. So, like, that's probably the greatest weakness of Attack of the Clones. And frankly, that's a weakness of The Phantom Menace, in that it's sometimes hard to really process the hardship and bond that Shmi and Anakin have because of their life circumstances. That's kind of glossed over, but it's important, and it really shines in one scene. And so, of course, this is about, we talk about what we like in this segment, not what we dislike, but the fact that that's never been George Lucas's strong suit really lends that much more credence to give him credit for just an incredible, incredible moment when Shmi and Anakin part ways, and they have that final hug, and of course the John Williams Force theme rising as he leaves his home, his mother, and his old fate and old life behind, and embraces his wider destiny. And for me, that moment's every bit as moving as the moment that Luke comes to the same decision after the death of his aunt and uncle, when he says, I want to go with you to Alderaan and learn the ways of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it just kind of reminded me that one scene really jumped out to me. So my pick this week, Boba's Bounty, The Phantom Menace. Go back, revisit it. Pernilla August is highly, highly, highly underrated.
So what's funny is, like, some people would say, you know, that's a negative of Lucas, you know, that a flaw in his writing. But I almost think, like, it's brilliant, because it illustrates that the Jedi were flawed. I mean, that was the one thing about that scene that really jumped out to me, was like, why isn't Qui-Gon helping them? Why aren't the Jedi trying to liberate slaves everywhere they go? Like, that was, I was always expecting that to be more. And I think that that's one of the things I love so much about Matthew Stover's Revenge of the Sith, is he illustrates through the love of Padme and Anakin and how he was trying to protect her because he wasn't able to protect his mom. You know, like the next step of that relationship, because the Jedi failed his mom, he wasn't going to let him as a Jedi fail his wife. And that just that next movement. And there are times where I look back on that and I'm like, you know, that was probably one of the brilliant moves to not save Shmi and to leave it so vaguely open like that, only because of how they came back later. Like, I don't know, man. Sometimes some of the harsher critiques can also be some of the better praises.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Mr. Herleman, I'm going to actually have you take us to our email segment. I got a tweet about this, and I told Will to say, hey, I think that was the Twitter handle anyway, but you've got the whole email and name there.
Yeah.
Take us away, because he had an interest. He called me out a little bit.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
And there we go.
Exactly.
Now, you actually have it pulled up, right?
I unfortunately don't, okay. So you're going to have to take us away on the
hello
email
hello, everyone,
sir.
At SWR. That's Star Wars Report for you that do not know acronyms. Welcome to day one of pronunciation class. Oh, and unfortunately, I'm the one that's reading this, the one that really struggles with pronunciation. So, Riley, Aaron Reich is pronounced Ehrenreich. Easy as 1, 2, 3. So, see, I was closer. Not Emmerich. There are no M's in Ehrenreich. And you may your name is it looks awesome, and it also is a little intimidating for people that screw up E's and I's. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna botch this. You Mark, go on. You said there are too many E's. Yes, there are three.
You should totally, Mark. you realize the reason I'm having you do this. I'm terrible.
Oh, well, now I get it. Now I get it. And I's, I count one. He says, that's it for class today. Dismissed. P.S. My name, Oak and Out, is pronounced Oak and Hout, like out, with an H in front of it. I'm
so
amazed
saying,
how many people
Oak
pronounce
hoot,
it like
right?
Hoot.
Oak and Hoot?
Yeah. You know, my last name is Swiss. It's as common as Smith over there. And I still remember looking back on my family history and going, wait a minute, this Herleman married another Herleman with two N's. Wait, whoa, two N's. Two N's! Two N's! Stop the presses! What the hell? Luke and Leia, what? My family! Like, yeah, like... The things you learn about other cultures and stuff and the way they spell names.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
And
yeah,
it continues,
yeah,
of course,
so,
this is all in good jest. May the force be with you.
This is, exactly. Yeah, thanks so much for your email. I'm totally going to cop out. I have no idea. I have this thing, Mark. You may not realize this about me, but when I don't know how to pronounce a name, I just glance at it. And the first thing that forms in my brain, I just roll with, and I say it with great confidence.
No,
so
I'm with you there.
Exactly.
So here's my complaint about the EU when I'm listening to audiobooks.
So saying, and of course, to be totally transparent, man, I saw it later, and I'm like, I'm just gonna keep going. But of course, I got called out. But I much deserved. So
I'm terrible with Padme. Padme and Koran, which is actually supposed to be Koran. Yeah. When I heard that, I'm like, it's a ran, not run. What the heck? But yeah, and for the longest time, it wasn't until I got my dad reading Star Wars books, I literally thought his name was Talon Kardi. Talon Kard. My dad's like, you never figured out that his ship's name is the Wild Card? I'm like, what? It's not the Wild Kardi? Oh, that certainly makes a lot of sense. Like, I felt so stupid. It was great. I love that
moment. You should have just rolled with it.
I was,
just, like,
for the longest time. I was like,
hey, Dad, here's the pronunciation guide. It's definitely Cardi. exactly. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that very note, I think we're going to have to bring this podcast.
That's right.
You can come through. I'll just go ahead and let you give us the old closing information, if you would, sir.
That's right. You can find Riley at The Riley Guy on Twitter. You can find us at the Star Wars Report, www.starwarsreport.com. You can also find all the other Second Airborne podcasts over there. Wampa's Lair. Yeah, Ion Cannon. Yeah, Bookworms. Darn right. Star Wars Beyond the Films. All those other shows. We've got Cloud City Casino. And you also can find Riley's Beyond the Vote somewhere over there, too, I think. But there's so much good stuff over there. You can find us all out there on that place specifically. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'm Illogical Rogue 2 on Twitter. You can find our handle, of course, is Star Wars Reports. And, of course, Bethany L. Blanton. Isn't that how she's got it now?
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Nice. So, and again, big thank you to all our patrons out there. We could not do any of this without you guys. I couldn't be holding down the fort, so to speak, and tripping all over myself as I am yet. You're forcing me to practice my intros and outros more, and I salute you. So, once again, from all of us at Star Wars Reports, thank you. And remember, many
Bothans died. I had to do it.
They did.
This podcast.
Many, many, many Bothans.
There it is, man. Yeah, leave that old recorder going for a second. Nicely done, sir. Well done on the intros and outros. Look at that.
It's almost like we'd done this before.
How bad is it when you were playing music? Would it just not come through, or if I like yelled at it, did I come through?
I think you came through. I'm still, when I'm looking at it, I'm just hoping that you're not too overmodulated. It still shows you pretty high.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, it'll survive. I really appreciate you being willing to take over, and everybody who's listened to this little post-credit segment. So, like, I am under a very tight time crunch, which is why we don't have a super long show. I literally, like, the whole credits and stuff, I have to take off, get to the gym before I get home while it's running late here. In Fayetteville, and so I'm podcasting from a headset, so I'm literally podcasting while driving, which, to be fair, it's less like talking on the phone, guys. I was safe, made sure I was extra careful and fully visible and totally just talking on the phone with a friend and everyone else listening to the podcast. So,
no, yes, officer, it's not a phone, it's Skype.
Exactly. Scold me, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And I did a little post-credits tease also last time, Mark, where I just said, hey, if you're listening to this section and you're going to Celebration Europe, shoot me an email. Same thing applies if you guys are hearing this. If you're at the very end, you're the hardest of the hardcore. Thanks. And shoot me an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. If you're going to be at Celebration Europe, I'm going to be planning a meetup. We're going to be doing a live podcast. More details to come soon. But I got to roll, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. Talk soon.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.